Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've ever struggled in your Christian life with the assurance of salvation, this is a text that you go to here. If you ever have somebody tell you that as a Christian you can lose your salvation, this is a text of Scripture that you go to. The salvation and the length of salvation, the endurance of salvation, the giving of salvation, everlasting life is in the hands of the Lord, and He gives it to His people. It's not a nose count. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter about those who are the hirelings that are within the church of Jesus Christ, who do not love the sheep. They're only there to promote themselves or maybe get a paycheck, but they don't love the sheep because they are not of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what they say. What matters is what the Lord says in His Word. This is what you hold on to, beloved. You hold on to Christ as He proclaims Himself through the proclamation of the Word. The promises of God are what strengthens the truth of the believer. One of the articles in the Canons of Dort on the perseverance of the saints deals with that. If you're lacking assurance of your salvation, I'll tell you, you haven't spent enough time in the Word. That's your problem. You haven't been looking at the promises of God, looking to the promises of God, trusting in the promises of God, walking by faith in the promises of God in Scripture. It's the promises of God that the Holy Spirit uses to minister to the soul of the sheep of Christ's pasture. So I ask you, are you struggling with the assurance of your salvation? Do you go one week and think that you're saved, and the next week you don't know? Somebody comes in from a cult, a Jehovah's Witness, or a Mormon, or some other congregation, and challenges you in something that you believe, and you have a crisis of faith. Is that your life? I can tell you, again, you need to spend more time communing with God through His Word. This is the very means that God uses to strengthen His people. This is the food, beloved, of your soul. When Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "Lord, you know I love you. You know all things." He said, "Then feed my lambs." He said again, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" "Lord, you know all things. Feed my sheep." What does that imply? The only food for the soul of the believer is the Word of God. This is what you feed on to strengthen your soul. This is what you feed on to know your God in an intimate way. We were in Ephesians chapter 1 this morning in my congregation, and one of the things the Apostle Paul prays for the Ephesians and for all the saints, it wasn't just for the Ephesians, it was a circular letter that went out to different congregations, that they would be given the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, wisdom and understanding, to know the things that God has given to them. And the knowing is the Greek term epignosis, which means a deep knowledge. Not just knowing about, but knowing. And I want to ask you this afternoon, do you know your Savior? Not just knowing about Him, not as you kids go to the confirmation class and learn a lot of things about Jesus. I want to know if you know Him. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know Him through His Word? Do you commune with Him through His Word? Do you hear His voice? It's important that you know that. That you hear Jesus calling you to come unto Him. To find rest in Him. To take His yoke upon you. In knowing that His burden and His yoke is easy, and in Him you find rest for your soul. Do you know that? And again, it's not a knowledge, just surfacey. It's a deep knowledge. It's an understanding of who He is. It's the relationship between a husband and wife. That kind of a knowledge. As I said this morning, you husbands, no one knows you on this earth, humanly speaking, no one knows you as well as your wife does. And you wives, no one knows you as well as your husband does. Now, most of you know me, but you don't know me like my wife knows me. We don't have that relationship. This is a relationship that we're called to as the sheep of Christ's pasture, to have that deep abiding understanding of knowledge of Him, knowing Him, that relationship with Him. It's intimate. That's how you hear His voice. That's the distinction between the sheep and the wolves. Did you catch that, what Jesus said? You don't follow me, you don't hear me, you don't believe me, because you don't hear my word. He said, my sheep hear my word. They hear my voice. They know my voice. Phone rings and someone's on the other end. You recognize the voice. I have a good example for you. Recognizing a voice. I was in Menno as a pastor for 8 years. And one of my members went to the hospital. They thought he had a stroke and was paralyzed because he wasn't responding to anybody. And so I got the call and I went and I visited with him. And they met me in the hallway and they said he's been unresponsive for the last 8 or 9 hours. So I walked in the room. I said, hey, Victor, how you doing? And he looked at me and said, hey, Pastor, how are you? I was as shocked as they were. And all I could say is, he knew my voice. He recognized my voice. He heard me every Sunday for 8 years. And he knew the voice. And that's the question for each of us this afternoon, isn't it? Are you one, as Jesus says here in verse 16, and other sheep I have that are not of this fold, them too I must bring in, that there will be one fold and one shepherd. Are you part of the fold of Jesus? I did not ask you if you were a member of Dune United Reformed Church. I asked you if you are a member of Christ's pasture. If you are a member of His sheep. Are you a member of His fold? Do you belong to Him? Notice what our text says in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Just that verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep is already, it's a genitive there. I own them. I possess them. They belong to me. I am the good shepherd, and I laid down my life for my sheep. They belong to me. They're mine. I am theirs, and they are mine. And we have a relationship together, and they hear my voice. They know my voice. They don't simply recognize. They know me. They know my voice. The knowing there, or the hearing as he uses here, is a kuo, man. It's a kuo. It's more than just an outward hearing. It's the call of the gospel that sinks down into the soul, that understands that forgiveness of sins is found in Jesus Christ alone. That Jesus said, I've come to give them life, and that more abundantly. And you know, beloved, you know if you're a sheep of Christ's pasture, that you have that life abundantly in Him. He satisfies the longing of your soul. He satisfies you when you go through difficult times. It's the comfort that you find in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Do you know that comfort? Do you know the comfort that Christ gives? Christ carries His own. It is said of the Lord in the Old Testament that He shelters us under the shadow of His wings. Now, you know that's an anthropomorphic expression, which simply means it's used in the form of a man so that we would have understanding. God doesn't have wings. But you can see as you look out into the barnyard and you see a chicken, a hen, that covers its chicks underneath its wing for protection. Shadows them, shades them, protects. That's what our Lord does to us. This is the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're a sheep, you know Him. He said in verse 26 about the Pharisees, "You do not believe because you are not among my sheep." That's evident, beloved. That's telling, isn't it, right there? Do you believe the gospel? Do you know the gospel? I find today, people don't even know the gospel. They don't know what the gospel is. The gospel is not you doing something. The gospel is not you believing on Jesus. The gospel is not your faith. The gospel is the good news, who is Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. He is the gospel. He's the good news. It's what He has done. It's Him coming into this world. God taking upon Himself the form of a man in the person of Jesus Christ to fulfill all the righteous demands of the law in the place of all the sheep of His pasture. Then He goes to the cross and He lays down His life that our sins might be covered, washed away in His blood, cast as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us again. Now, if you're struggling with that, it's because you're thinking like God is like a man. God is not a man. God doesn't lie. When the Lord says that He casts our sins behind His back, that they're not something that He remembers against us again, the Lord means it. And that's what you believe as the sheep of His pasture. That's what you embrace. It's the only hope we have, is what God has said. We rest our life upon the word of the Savior. If the Savior says, do this, this you do as the sheep of His pasture. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Now sheep, they're incredible beasts. Probably have the most problem with sheep. If any of you own any sheep, you will know that you have more problems with sheep than any other farm animal. Sheep will eat anything. They'll eat to the grass until they pull up the roots and so there's nothing else left. So they have to constantly be moved along. They're huge followers and one gets out ahead, they'll all follow through. They get stuck in the mud, they won't move. So you have too much wool, they'll fall over and they'll lay there with their feet up in the air. And they die. They can't find water. We're called sheep. You know what that implies? We need a shepherd. We need one to shepherd us. We need Christ. Beloved, I know we need someone to tell us what to do. I need the word of Christ in my life more and more and more every day. I need to hear from Christ and His word. I need to be instructed on what to do. I need to know how to live, and it's the shepherd who guides and instructs His people. Do you know His voice? Do you know His voice? How about you kids? Why do you kids come? Well, my parents make me come. It ought not to be that your parents make you come. It ought to be that you come to delight to hear the voice of the shepherd who speaks to you through the word. Do you know Him? Do you know Christ as your prophet? The prophet who declares the word to you and how to live. Do you know Him as your priest? The one who made atonement, propitiation for you. Who covered your sins with His blood. Do you know Him as prophet and priest? Do you know Him as your king? The one who rules over you. The one who directs you from His word. Do you know Him as your prophet, priest, and king? The text says, the sheep, they hear His voice. Notice also in verse 27, and I know them. Oh, to be known of Jesus. How great it is to be known of Jesus. As important as it is that we know Him, how much more important that He knows us. That I know you, Jesus says. I know my own. I lay down my life for my own. I know which ones I've laid my life down for. Now the knowing here is not just simply knowing about. When Jesus says, I know them, it's an intimate relationship with them. Paul said it this way in Galatians 2, that I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I am in Him and He is in me. He dwells in me by His Spirit. And I dwell in Him spiritually. I am part of His body. I am one of His sheep. You know how important it is that you be known by Jesus? Do you remember the parable in Matthew 25 of the 10 virgins? When the bridegroom comes, and you know, they all went out to wait for the bridegroom, and they were all dressed in the same clothing. They all had lanterns. They all slept. They all slumbered. They all heard the call, the bridegroom is coming. They all awoke. They all started to go out to meet the bridegroom. And the only difference between the five wise and the five foolish was the oil, which is a symbolic of the Holy Spirit. You think about that parable for a moment. Whether Jesus is talking about individual believers or churches, it makes no difference. These are people who are associating with those who are wise virgins, those who are truly the sheep of Christ's pasture. They dress like them, they act like them, they talk like them, but they are not believing in the only Savior, Jesus. And the wise said, go and buy oil for yourself. They couldn't. It's non-transferable. I can't give you faith. I can't impart that to you. You can't buy faith. So they come back and they were already at the place where they were celebrating the wedding feast. And there is a knock outside and they said, Lord, Lord, open to us also. You go home and you read that parable and you see Jesus. You hear Him. He opens up the door and says, I don't know you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. That's frightful, isn't it? I don't know you. He's God come in the flesh. You know He knows everybody from the beginning all the way to the end, and you've known Him for all eternity. What He's saying is, I don't have a relationship with you, and you don't have a relationship with me. Jesus says, I know my sheep. I know which ones I've come for. Oh, it's popular today. Believe me, I get letters from our radio program. Oh, Pastor, you're taking that scripture out of context. Jesus died for everybody. No, He didn't. He died for His sheep. And not all people are His sheep. Jesus said in John 6, all that the Father give to me, come to me. All that the Father gives to me, come to me. And all who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus didn't come for a potential salvation. He didn't come for a potential atonement. He came for an actual atonement. Matthew 1, when He gave up His life, He did so to save His people, which are His sheep, which those are the chosen, elect in Christ Jesus from before the foundation of the world. That's who Christ died for, His sheep. He doesn't die and then say, okay, whosoever will, let him come. Who would come then? Who would come on their own steam? Jesus even said in John 3, the light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil, and they would not come to the light lest their evil deeds be exposed. No one would come to Jesus. No one would trust in Jesus. We would all be hating Jesus Christ and want to throw him over a cliff unless he regenerated the soul and brought us to himself. Unless we were the sheep of his pasture, we would have nothing to do with Jesus. Do you know him? Have you heard him? Are you trusting him? Jesus knows his sheep. Now notice the characteristic of the sheep. They follow me. This would be in ancient times what they would do in Israel when they would bring in their sheep. They may put them in one herd together. And there would be one person that would be the shepherd that would lay down in front of the door to keep them from coming out. And then in the morning, when they'd get ready to go back out and graze the sheep, he would call his sheep and they would come after him and follow him. Notice the symbolism there. My sheep follow me because they hear my voice and I know them, and already implying they know me. Are you a doer of the word? James says that if you are a hearer of the word only and not a doer, you're deceiving yourself. Do you come to hear the voice of Christ that you might then live the word of Christ? This is not for salvation. This is a result of salvation. You're already a sheep saved by Jesus Christ. And the telltale mark is your life of following after him. That's what a disciple is. A mathetes, a follower of Jesus Christ. One who follows after the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice that the hearing here, my sheep hear, and when it says that Jesus, I know them, and they follow me, this is all in the present tense in the Greek text, which is, they keep on doing it. It's a continual action. They keep on hearing me, I keep on knowing them, and they keep on following me. Beloved, are you following Christ? Are you living your own life? Or are you living for Christ? You see, you're not your own if you belong to the shepherd. He's purchased you, body and soul. You're his slave. You are to live your life now for righteousness. Some of you young people in here, the unmarried ones, are you messing around with someone who is not a believer? Are you dabbling in a relationship with an unbeliever? You've already departed from following after Jesus because you are not obeying his word. A believer is to be yoked with another believer, not a pagan. Because light and darkness have nothing in common. Christ and Satan have nothing in common. You see how practical it gets now. Are you giving of your tithes and your offerings? If you're not, then you're not following after Jesus, because the word of Jesus is that we are to give of our first fruits. We're to be faithful in giving to the work of the gospel. You husbands, are you being faithful to your wives? Are you being faithful to your wives, not simply physically, but spiritually? Are some of you men in here dabbling in pornography? Then you're not following after Christ. You're not hearing the word of Christ. You're not listening to the word of Christ. Whether your ears are stopped up that you just don't hear because you're not part of his flock, or you're plugging your own ears so you don't have to hear that. Either one, you are not following after Jesus Christ. This is a life, beloved. This is our life to follow the Good Shepherd. That's only where life is found, in following him. And that's what sheep do. Sheep follow the shepherd. It was said of the disciples that way. They took note because they preached this doctrine throughout all Jerusalem, filled Jerusalem with this doctrine. They took note that they had been with Jesus. They were living the life, weren't they? And they were martyred for it. They were killed on account of their faith for following the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever seen if you're on Facebook, that Arabic sign of an N, it's like a U with a little slash above it? That's an Arabic symbol for N. And the N was referred to by the Muslim jihadists of those who followed Jesus. And what the Muslim jihadists would then do was place that symbol, specifically in Syria and Iraq and Iran, they would place that symbol on the door or the wall of one who was a follower of Jesus. And then the next night, what they would do is they would come and they would rape and pillage and kill the family. The symbol was put on the wall in red. Well, two things let me ask you. Number one, is there enough evidence in our lives as followers of Christ that that would be put on our door and wall? And number two, if it was, then how would you live? Would you trust the shepherd? Because notice in verse 28, he says, I give them eternal life. Now, what is eternal life? Eternal life isn't simply the duration. It is everlasting life. Eonos is the Greek term there. It means everlasting. Just quibbling a little bit here with the text, I don't like when it's interpreted or translated eternal, because properly speaking, God alone dwells in eternity. God alone has eternal life. That's no beginning and no ending. We have a beginning and we have an end. But our life is going to be everlasting. It will continue to go on as we are sustained in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives them everlasting life. Notice that? That's a gift. That means heretofore you did not have everlasting life. It must be given to you, and it's given to you as you are given ears and faith to believe on Jesus Christ. Ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to believe. That is all the work of the Holy Spirit. Now let me ask you again. Do you hear His voice? Do you know Him? Are you following Him? You have everlasting life. I can tell you right now, right here, on the authority of this text, if you hear His voice and you know Him and you're following after Him, you have, right now, present possession, you have everlasting life and you will never perish. Do you understand that? You will never perish. Christ purchased you, beloved. He purchased you not to let somebody snatch you from His hand. You are in His hand. Oh, the safest place in the world you can be is in the hand of Jesus Christ. What can the world do to you in Jesus Christ? The body they can kill. They can take all my things. They can't take my soul. You can't take my life in Jesus Christ. You can't take me from being a sheep of His pasture. I am His and He is mine. And this is what He says, I give them everlasting life. Jesus said in John 5, He who hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has everlasting life and has passed, notice this, has passed from death into life. Beloved, that's where you stand now. That's your sphere, that's your position in Jesus Christ. You are in the light in Jesus Christ. You have life in Jesus Christ. You are in the love of God in Jesus Christ. His grace is lavished among you in Jesus Christ. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has given you all that is necessary for life in godliness in Christ Jesus. That is where you dwell. That's where the sheep are. The sheep are part of the fold of Jesus Christ. They are His body. That's the fold. He brings us in. Using a metaphor here, He's speaking of His body. He brings them to Himself. And He won't let any of them perish. You know, He leaves the 99 and He seeks out the one and He brings them to Himself. And that's one for whom He died. He cannot lose one for whom He died. Now you think about the one who says this is the one who holds your breath right here, right now in His very hand. He controls everything in this world. He is the governor of this world. Nothing happens by chance. Everything happens by His design, for His glory, for His purpose, and the good of His church. Now how comforting is that? You belong to Him and He has given you life and life everlasting. And neither shall they perish. and no one will snatch them out of my hand. To snatch is to violently take one from the fold of Christ. Wolves do that. Wolves sneak in and they grab one and they run off with it. They devour it. That's what Satan does, doesn't he? 1 Peter 5. Your adversary, the devil, stalks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The English translation, devour, it means to drink down. That's what he's trying to swallow you up. He wants to devour the sheep of Christ's pasture. But the shepherd stands watch. The shepherd guards his sheep. The shepherd, just as the metaphor of David killing a bear, killing a lion, letting nothing take his sheep, and he is the Son of Christ, as even seen in the words of Christ himself, Christ will not let any take his sheep. Beloved, if you're fearful of you losing your salvation, let me tell you, look at that text again. Look at that verse 28. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. You know what never means? Never. It cannot happen. You will never perish. You will never go to hell. You will never stand before the Lord and cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You will never do that. You will never ever utter those words because Christ uttered them in your place. This is what it means to belong to the Good Shepherd. You will never perish. You will never go to hell. You have passed from death into life. And you will never more come under condemnation. That's the promise of the Good Shepherd. You go home and you meditate on these three verses. And you mull them over in your head. That's what the Scripture tells us to do. To meditate upon the Word of God. You let that resonate and sink down into your soul. Listen to the voice of the shepherd. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. Paul said, and I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is a promise of God. Nothing separates you from the Lord Jesus Christ. No one snatches my sheep. Christ destroys any who comes against His church. Christ does. He has all power and all authority. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He is making His enemies the footstool of His feet. He is the one who is conquering. He is the victor. And we are victorious more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Cannot fail to come to pass because this is the word of our eternal God. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, but my word will never pass away. Beloved, I give you eternal life and you will never perish. The body they can kill, the body is going to go into the ground. And God's promise is that body is going to come out of the ground again and it's going to be united to this soul in a glorified body. And we will ever be with the Lord in a glorified body. Soul is completely cleansed of all sin. Loving God for the first time with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Do you hear it? Do you hear it? Jesus said, the Father who has given Him to me, He's greater than all. No one can snatch them out of the hands of my Father. You see, if verse 28 doesn't do it for you, look at verse 29. The Father holds you. You are preserved in Christ Jesus. Jude verse 1. We are the preserved of Jesus Christ. And therefore, we persevere. Hearing the voice, following the Good Shepherd. And Jesus said, I and the Father are one. That doesn't mean they're identically one. That means they're of the same purpose. There are three in the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of Jesus Christ is the purpose of the Father. And the purpose of the Father was to give a flock to His Son that He would be the Good Shepherd and He would redeem them by His life and death and that they would be where He is right now in that state of glory. And Jesus said, it must come to pass. Beloved, do you hear Him? You must be in the Word. You must be a person of the Word. You must listen to the Word. This is how you hear the voice of the Savior Jesus Christ. He knows you. He causes you to hear Him through the Word. And He, by His Spirit, will cause you to follow Him. And He will give you, in your soul, the confidence of everlasting life. Because in Romans 8, it's the Holy Spirit who bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, that no one can snatch you from Him. You have this guarantee. Walk confidently as a believer. Whatever you're facing this day, walk confidently as a believer. When you wake up tomorrow, face that day with confidence, knowing that you are in the hands of Jesus Christ. He says so, beloved. You're His precious possession. You are His people. You are the apple of His eye. You are the sheep of His pasture. And no one takes you from Him. Look to Him, trust Him, believe the promise, follow Him. And it's in this way you will find rest for your souls. Amen. Shall we pray?